This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we begin, or we are on page number 95, which is in Surah An-Nisa, the fifth juz. In the previous episode we spoke about a number of verses in which Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the virtue and the reward and the status of those people who are willing to sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and strive in His path. They're willing to give up their lives and their wealth and everything that they hold precious for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them with a great reward. And how Allah Azza wa Jalla also rewards those people who make any type of sacrifice, because from the sacrifices that Allah Azza wa Jalla honors are those people who migrate for Allah's sake. So when we say someone that makes jihad, yes, there is a jihad which is physical and it's regarding the battlefield, but there are many levels of jihad, and from them are those people who migrate for the sake of Allah. They go to a land because they're unable to practice their religion freely where they happen to be. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla praises those people because that's also a great sacrifice. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla honors those people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the potential sin of those people who don't do so. They don't strive, they don't migrate, they don't do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. They may be in sin, and as a result they may be punished unless they have valid excuses. Those men, women, children who are unable to do so for a valid, legitimate excuse in the eyes of the Sharia, Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful towards them. So today we begin from verse 101, and these verses are also to do with the issue of fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but one specific aspect concerning this issue, and that is the salah, the prayer for those people who fight and strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this shows to us the importance of salah. These verses will show to us the status and the importance of prayer in our religion. Because if there was ever a situation, ever a place, ever a time when you would say that someone didn't have to pray, or they could delay the prayer, or according to some of the scholars, as we will see, don't have to pray if they're men in congregation, this would have been the time and the place. When a person's on the battlefield, and it's a battle, and they're fighting, and they're a soldier, and it's in the middle of a battlefield, or just before the battle begins, surely that's the time when you can delay the prayer. Surely that would be the time that if you could miss the prayer, that would be it. Surely that would be the time where if you had certain things that you know, certain ways that you could just delay the prayer till later, or pray the next day, or pray when the whole thing's over and finished, that would have been the time and place. But you will see from these verses how great the status of salah is in our religion. That even on the battlefield, even the person in the midst of a battle, if they're in the middle of a battle, meaning that there are some times on the battlefield where the battle's yet to begin and people are in preparation mode. And then there's times on the battlefield where you're in the middle of the fighting. In both of those cases, as we will see, the person has to pray. The Muslim has to pray when it is the time for salah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 101, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إن الكافرين كانوا لكم عدوا مبينا. When you are traveling in the land, you will not be blamed for shorting your prayers if you fear the disbelievers may harm you. They are your sworn enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if someone is traveling in the land, so therefore that's one of the reasons that a person can shorten the prayers. We know and have established from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that traveling is a valid excuse for shortening the prayer and for combining the prayers as well. And those details again can be found in the books of fiqh. But to shorten the prayers, which is what is mentioned in this particular verse, let us focus on that aspect. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you can shorten the prayers if you are traveling in the land. So if you are on a travel, meaning you're taking a journey that you consider to be a journey, that is something which allows you to shorten the prayer. And the journey and its limits and so on is an issue, again, that needs to go back to the books of fiqh, but it's something which is dictated by custom. So in your custom, depending upon the country that you come from, if that's considered to be a journey what you're taking, then that is something where it is permissible for you then to shorten the prayer. The second reason is that, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, in khiftum, in state of fear, and true and actual fear. If a person is in a state of fear, like for example the soldier on the battlefield, it is therefore permissible for them to also shorten the prayer. And this is from the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His mercy, that the Sharia realizes there are certain times and places where it may be difficult for you to complete the prayer. So for example, when you're traveling, right, all of us know that if you're on an airport, sometimes you have limited time, or maybe you're transiting between one flight and another, and so you may have only an hour or so, or half an hour between the two flights. That time is short, or sometimes you have to pray on the plane itself, or on some mode of transport as you're journeying. And so for the salah to be shortened makes things easier for the traveler, and that is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if that's the case for the traveler, and the relatively limited amount of difficulty that they face, then no doubt the person who is in an actual live state of fear, because they fear for their lives and their well-being, that is something which is greater. Allah Azza wa Jal says that these people, there is no harm upon them if they do so, because Allah Azza wa Jal, from His mercy, knows the situation. In the next verse, verse 102, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to speak about what we call in the books of fiqh, salatul khawf, the prayer of fear, meaning the prayer in the state of fear. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ وَدَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ تَغْفُلُونَ عَنْ أَسْلِحَتِكُمْ وَأَمْتِعَتِكُمْ فَيَمِيلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَيْلَةً وَاحِدَةً ولا جناح عليكم إن كان بكم أذى من مطر أو كنتم مرضى أن تضعوا أسلحتكم وخذوا حذركم إن الله أعد للكافرين عذابا مهينا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you are with the believers leading them in prayer, let a group of them stand up in prayer with you, taking their weapons with them, and when they have finished their prostration, let them take up their positions at the back. Then let the other group who have not yet prayed, pray with you. Also, when they're guard and armed with their weapons, the disbelievers would dearly like you to be heedless of your weapons and baggage in order for them to take you in a single assault. You will not be blamed if you lay aside your arms when you're overtaken by heavy rain or illness, but be on your guard. Indeed, Allah has prepared a humiliating punishment for the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse now is speaking about what we call Salatul Khawf. And Salatul Khawf is the prayer that is done in the state of fear, for example, on the battlefield. There are a number of ways in which the Prophet ﷺ prayed during battle. And some of the scholars say that there are 6 to 7 different ways and manners in which the Prophet ﷺ prayed during various battles. And they differ slightly in one way or another. And that is something which is found throughout the many narrations in the books of hadith. And also, as we said before, the detail of this can be found in the books of fiqh. What Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in this verse 102, is one of those descriptions, one of those 6 or 7 methods of praying, or those ways that a person can pray in the state of fear. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about one particular way. This particular way that is being referred to here is something which the Prophet ﷺ himself practiced, he applied during one of the battles, as is mentioned in the books of the Sunnah. And that is when a person is praying on a battlefield, he's going to be in one of two cases. And they're praying obviously in congregation, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمْ الصَّلَىٰ. If you, meaning the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, are with the Muslims and you're leading them in prayer, so they're praying in congregation. And that's why, as I kind of alluded to at the beginning of today's episode, some of the scholars were of the position, and especially those scholars who hold the position that the congregational prayer is an obligation upon Muslim men, that this is one of the evidences for that. That even at this particular stage, in more or less all cases, except for one or two, you still pray in congregation. you still pray in congregation. The only time that you wouldn't be able to pray in congregation is if you're in the middle of the battle and you're fighting. And obviously as you're fighting, it's not possible for the Muslims to just stop and take a break and pause and to pray together in congregation, in which case each person prays individually as and when they can. However, otherwise they pray in congregation. So if they're praying in congregation, there's one of two scenarios. Number one is that either the enemy is between them and the Qibla. So if they face the enemy, they also face the Qibla because the Qibla is in their direction. Or the other option is that the enemy is in one direction and the Qibla is in the other direction. In which case, in order for them to pray, they have to turn around and face the Qibla, therefore giving their backs to their enemy. Those are two different scenarios. The one that Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to here is the second of the two, meaning that the Qibla is in the opposite direction. That to face the Qibla, you must turn away from the enemy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this description, and the other ones are mentioned in the sunnah, the other ways of how to pray when the enemy is in front of you and so on. Those descriptions and those details are mentioned in the books of the sunnah and in the books of fiqh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are standing amongst them, leading them in salah, فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَعْكُ. So now the enemy is in front, but the Qibla is behind. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, face the Qibla and pray with a group of the believers. So you split the army into two. A group of them will face towards the Qibla with you. They will pray with you. And the other group is doing what? They're guarding you. Essentially, they're looking towards the enemy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ and take with you your weapons. Even though weapons are cumbersome, right, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would have been spears, would have been bows and arrows, would have been swords. They're cumbersome to pray with. And no doubt as you're praying with those weapons, you're going to have to move and take things away. And that shows to us a very important point. And that is that if there is a need in the salah for movement, it is permissible. Generally speaking, as we know, for khushu', when you pray, you don't fidget. You don't move unnecessarily. You don't do anything that distracts you from the salah to the best of your ability. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that in this case, there are different factors in play. And one of those factors is your safety. The fact that you need to be alert and on guard, that someone may come and try to attack you once they see you in salah. And it is mentioned in some of the narrations that the Quraysh said that we should attack the Muslims when they pray. Because as soon as they start praying, that's it. Like as soon as you go into sajda, it's done, right? You're not looking and that's when we attack them. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed these verses to show the Muslims, no. There's a way that they can pray in which they can offer their salah and fulfill their obligation to Allah Azza wa Jal, but also in a practical way that allows for them to be on guard and to defend themselves as well and to be wary of any attack. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ, let them take with them their weapons. So if someone is praying and they need to move for a valid reason in the salah, even outside of this context, it is permissible. It is allowed for you to do so. Like for example, the mother who's praying, and a child comes and he falls down and he's crying and she needs to pick him up. If that's a necessity and a need and she needs to do that in order to protect him or to stop him from being injured, it is permissible for her to do so. For example, that's an example. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ. So when you prostrate for the first rak'ah, those companions who are praying with the imam, in this case the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they go into sajda. The second group of Muslims are on guard. They're watching and they're waiting. وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعْكَ. So one rak'ah has now been done of this group. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, then let the other group now come and switch places. How do they switch places? The Prophet ﷺ or the Imam stands for the second rak'ah and he makes it really long. Really long to the extent now that those people who are praying with him, the first group, they pray the second rak'ah individually. They're no longer following the imam. They prayed one rak'ah with the imam. The second one, everyone, as you would do if you came to the masjid late and the imam's finished the prayer and you have one rak'ah left, you get up, everyone does their own thing and finishes their own salah according to their own speed. That's essentially what they're doing here. They prayed one rak'ah with the imam. The second one, they need to finish. Not only do they need to finish, they now need to go and switch places with the second group. So the second group will now come and they will also pray one rak'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the salah, and this is like, you know, one of those things that are mentioned in the books of fiqh as a riddle, if you like, which is the salah, because we know that the general sunnah is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lengthen the first rak'ah and the second rak'ah would be shorter. That's the general sunnah in salah. Which is the salah where it's not the case, where the opposite takes place, where actually the second rak'ah is actually longer than the first rak'ah, and the correct answer to that would be salatul khawf. So here the Prophet ﷺ is being told, wait. So you can imagine the time that it takes for those people to finish their own salah, because they got to read an extra rak'ah, make the shahud, make the sleem. Then they got to switch with the other group. Then the second group has to come and start the salah and read their own fatiha and everything. So the Prophet ﷺ is waiting, or the imam is waiting for that length. He now prays his second rak'ah, but this group's first rak'ah with them. And then he will go after his second rak'ah, sit for tashahud, because it's only a two rak'ah prayer, they're shortening the prayer, remember. He's sitting in tashahud, and the companions, who are, or the second group of the army, the second group that has now come to pray, they're going to stand up and finish their own salah, meaning they're going to read an extra rak'ah, just as they did, just as the first group did. However, they will meet the imam again in taslim, so he will prolong the tashahud. So the imam prolongs the tashahud, so that they can pray that second rak'ah by themselves, come back down and sit in tashahud and make the tashahud, and then they make salams together. Essentially is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the second group, take also you, your be on guard, and take your baggage with you and your weapons and so on. And that is obviously because if something did happen, you don't have the time then to go around looking for where you left your weapons, where you left your armor and so on. Keep it with you. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla says, because those disbelievers would love that they should be able to assault you whilst you are heedless of this. And as we said, it is mentioned in some of the narrations that the Quraysh said this, that wait for the Muslims to pray, that's when we attack, because they're going to go into ruku', they're going to go into sajda, and when they go into sajda, that's when we go and attack them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, they would love to do that. So you be on guard. And if there is rain, or some of you are sick, or you're not able to necessarily hold your weapons close to you and so on, there's a valid reason, then it is okay for you to leave the weapons somewhere, but just be on guard. Meaning keep them close by, that if something happened, you would be quickly able to go and deal with this issue. So this verse speaks about this important ruling that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, enacted in his life sallallahu alaihi wasallam a number of times on a number of battles, as is mentioned in the various books of the Sunnah and is mentioned in detail in the various books of fiqh. And so this shows to us the beauty of our religion, number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to such a comprehensive religion that in every single situation, scenario, circumstance, every time and place, we know what it is that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from us. Because otherwise it would have been level of chaos. People go to the battlefield, some people want to pray together, some people separately, some people don't want to pray at all. How do we pray? How do we make sure that we're on guard? What if the qibla is different? And so there's so many different possibilities that could have arisen. From the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses that show the exact manner of prayer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed us other methods of prayer. For example, if the enemy happens to be in the direction of the qibla, so you're facing the qibla and the enemy is there as well. So now no one's got their back towards the enemy, but there is a different way of praying there. Because again, not everyone can go into sajda, because again, it causes the same level of danger and possibility for attack. And so there is a certain method that is applied in that particular scenario as well. And that is beautiful. And that is why it is so beautiful to study the books of hadith, the books of tafsir, the books of fiqh, because you see from it the beauty of the religion. You see from it the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sharia. From the benefits of this verse, as we said, is the importance of salah. The importance of salah. And how people sometimes are lax, lazy, or sometimes completely heedless of salah, that they will miss their salah or delay their salah, or sometimes not pray except maybe on Fridays or in Ramadan or just on the odd Eid or something. And that shows to you how dangerous that their position is and how important the salah is, that it is such an important act of worship. Because as Allah Azza wa Jal will say elsewhere, as we mentioned before actually in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا, that if you are in a state of fear, meaning you can't pray in congregation, you're in the middle of the battlefield, then pray as you ride or as you walk. So even if it means that you're walking and all you can do is move your head, as you would do, for example, if you were lying down, or pray in that manner where you have to pray just to the best of your ability, that's what you do. But you don't miss the salah and you don't delay the salah. And so that's something which also we benefit from this particular verse. And also from the benefits of this verse is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people concessions and makes things easy for people. And how Islam, from the benefits of this verse, is how Islam is a practical religion. That the soldier who's praying with his weapons, with his baggage, with his armor, whatever it may be, those people are going to have to pray to the best of their ability. They won't be as loose and as easy in terms of their prayer as me and you would be if we're just praying at home or praying in the masjid. And so the Sharia takes that into account. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, no, do it. Take your weapons with you. So someone could say, but surely the salah is more important than... No, but Islam is a practical religion. And so in this particular case, you need to be practical. You need to understand there are practical rulings in play. And that's why sometimes, for example, if you're on a plane and someone insists on praying outside in the emergency exits, and the people, the flight attendants are saying, you can't pray here, it's dangerous, it's a hazard. And they're insisting, no, I have to pray. No, Islam is a practical religion. And so there are certain times when you have to make certain concessions, and the Sharia knows this. And that is the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His mercy, because you have to be practical and sensible, and you have to understand the situation and the circumstances that you are also in, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. In verse 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ فَإِذَا طَمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and after performing the salah, continue to remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying on your sides. And once you are safe, then keep up the regular prayer. Indeed, the prayer is obligatory for the believers at prescribed times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people who are in the battlefield or in the state of fear, and they're in the state of fear, and they're praying, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that after you have finished your salah, so again it shows the importance of salah, then remember Allah. In whatever situation and circumstance you're in, whether you happen to be standing or running or sitting or hiding or lying down, whatever situation you are in, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because in times of fear and times of difficulty, one of the means of salvation and the means of success, and one of the ways that you ensure Allah's aid and His help and assistance subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by busying yourself in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. By busying yourself in making tasbih and tahmeed and takbir and tahleel, by saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, sending salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of these different ways of making adhkar, all of them are something which help you to overcome difficulty. And that shows to us that when you're in situations, even if it's not a situation of fear, but if you're in a situation of difficulty, of hardship, some calamities befallen you, some hardship has come to you, one of the things that will give you contentment and peace and ease and also a great means of reward is by busying yourself with the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us here that you can remember Allah in any situation. Standing, sitting, lying down, wherever you are, however you are, you can make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why it is from those great acts of worship that Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated for His servants. فَإِذَا طَمَأْنَنْتُمْ. But if you have safety once again, so now this person has finished the battle, they're out of that situation of fear, فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, then fulfill the prayer as you are meant to. So these are these are exceptions to the rule. They are concessions. And this verse shows, as a general ruling, therefore, that concessions are only applied to those circumstances. So a person can't say, yes, I was in fear yesterday, but I'm going to continue for the rest of the week because I'm still, you know, in that kind of situation. No, they are limited to those particular circumstances. So if a person is sick, they have concessions. But as soon as they're well enough, they have to go back to the normal ruling. A person's traveling, they have concessions. But as soon as they come back home and they're resident, those rulings change, go back to their default rulings. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, فَإِذَا طَمَأْنَنْتُمْ. So when you are safe once again, فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, then perform the prayer, establish it as you would normally. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. For indeed, the salah is obligatory for the believers at prescribed times. And that's because one of the things that you can do in those situations of traveling and so on is that you can combine between the prayers. So you can combine between Dhuhr and Asr, and you can combine between Maghrib and Isha, either at the earlier time of those two prayers or at the later time of either of those two prayers. And so therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, but when you come back home and you're safe again, you're resident again, things are back to normal again, then every prayer has its prescribed time. And this also shows, therefore, and that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says and gives us this manner of praying in states of fear, Salatul Khawf, because those people on the battlefield can't delay the prayer. If it's time now for Dhuhr and Asr, they can't say, you know what, we're actually going to pray later on in the evening after Isha or midnight or tomorrow where things are better and then we'll pray. No. Time of prayer is when the time of prayer is. Fajr has to be prayed at Fajr time, Dhuhr at Dhuhr time, Asr at Asr time, or if you're going to combine, then the concession that is available of combining between Dhuhr and Asr and combining between Maghrib and Isha. But otherwise, every prayer has its time. And so this thing where people delay the prayer after its time, that's not correct and it's not allowed. If it happens on the odd occasion because of some circumstance that's beyond your control, that's different. But as for it being the norm, which often people do, make it the norm and make it the case that it's just always the case that they're going to pray after the time finishes, that's something which isn't allowed in the Sharia. Or another thing which is nearly as dangerous and nearly as harmful is delaying it towards the very end. So people wait, and then there's like 10 minutes left now for Dhuhr to finish or Asr to finish, and now we're just going to get up and pray. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is the prayer of the hypocrites. That they wait until there's hardly any time left, and then they're up and down because they need to get the prayer in within the few couple of minutes that they've got left before the time of the prayer elapses. And so therefore the Muslim is someone who's conscious when it comes to these issues of their prayer and their worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the final verse that we're going to take today, verse 104, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي بَتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Do not be faint-hearted in pursuing the enemy. If you are suffering hardship, so are they. But you hope to receive something from Allah for which they cannot hope. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to those people who were fighting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla that they shouldn't be faint-hearted, because no doubt fighting, battlefield, all of it is extremely taxing and difficult emotionally, physically, mentally. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions are being told, don't be faint-hearted. Because just as you are going through hardships, they also are going through hardships. Everyone's experiencing the same. But the difference is that the believers know about the reward of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has promised for them. And that's not something that anyone has except for the believers. Only the believers have that hope, that certainty, that trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that you have something over everyone else. And that is the promises that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you over and above others. And indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla is all-knowing, all-wise. And with that we come to the end of today's تفسير بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.